The sermon text this morning, both from Isaiah and Luke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And from the Gospel of Luke, "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So in our readings today, we have two men who realize that they are in the presence of the Lord Almighty. And these men have similar reactions. First, we have Isaiah, who saw the throne room of God. He saw the Lord seated on a throne, and Isaiah beheld the train of the Lord's robe, and the train of the Lord's robe filled the entire temple, and the glory and the majesty of God are overwhelming to him. He sees the seraphim, and that word seraphim, it means burning ones. So fiery angels. The psalmist says you make your angels ministers of fire, flames of fire. But anyway, seraphim are a class of created heavenly beings. Mentions there that they have wings, six wings. With two wings, they cover their feet. With two, they cover their faces. And with two, they fly, and they're in the temple of the Lord. And what do? These great heavenly creatures stand in the presence of God and sing back and forth the thrice holy hymn. "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God is holy. Heaven and earth is full of thy glory." And this is a song that they sing back and forth in the temple. And as we've said, with two wings, they cover their face because the angels worship God with such reverence that they don't even look at God. And they cover their feet for they don't want to boast of their own holiness of life or the holiness of their existence before God. And they serve God not with their own deeds, but they serve God with the confession of God's holiness. And when they sang back and forth, the foundations of the threshold, the door, you know, the foundations of the threshold shook, and the entire temple was filled with smoke. And when that happened, there was no pretense in Isaiah. He cries out that he is undone, for he is a man of unclean lips, and he lives in amongst a people of unclean lips. And being confronted with the holiness of God, he's well aware of the fact that he is a sinful man, as he knows very well. A sinful man cannot see God and live. As we sing in one of our hymns, "Though the eyes of sinful man thy glory may not see." We also have Simon Peter today too, coming to the realization of who Jesus is. He doesn't fully grasp this realization yet. That won't happen until after the ascension. But he understands Jesus is holy, and he calls Jesus Lord. And what is that situation? It's enough to put true fear into Simon. Jesus is teaching and preaching about the kingdom of God. And sure enough, we can find out a whole bunch about the church here. And you can see all these picture languages going on back and forth. And then he uses this action of catching fish to show Simon Peter what he's going to do. You know, let down your nets. Okay, the sea is the world. The nets are the word of God. The boats are the church. Peter is going to be a fisher of men, and so are the other disciples of Jesus Christ will be ultimately given that commission to be fishers of men. But, I don't want to focus in on that today. I want to zero in on Peter's reaction when at the word of Jesus, after having fished all night with not a single fish to show for it, he obeys Jesus' command, and he lets down the net into the water, and he comes up with this miraculous catch of fish, and they wave over to their buddies, their co-workers, you know, come on over, and they are hauling these nets in, and it's so many fish they can't fill two boats with it, and as they fill two boats with the fish, the boat's starting to sink, and there's Jesus apparently still seated in the boat as this whole thing was going on, and Peter comes up to Jesus and falls at Jesus' knees and says, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Now that word "Lord" is a very important word. It's a very important word. This is the recognition that Jesus is much more than a mere mortal man, that he is the Lord himself. Peter calls Jesus Lord. So both these men and Isaiah and Peter come to understand that they're in the presence of the Lord, God himself. It's an overwhelming presence which causes them to acknowledge their sinfulness. Now, you might have met somebody in the course of the walk of your life. You said, when I get to heaven, I got a few things I'm going to say to God. I got a few questions I want to ask him. And, you know, they may say that matter-of-factly. They may say that combatively. They may say it boastfully. You know, when I meet God, I got a few things. Well, no, you won't. No. That will not be your reaction when you meet God. When you are in the presence of God, you will be fully aware of your own sinfulness. And when faced with the holiness of God, we come to recognize and realize just how broken we are. Now, most of the time we just don't get it. Most of the time we can't see it. Because each of us are afflicted with the belief that we're pretty good folks. We're pretty good people. We're all right. I mean, it's part of our fallen, sinful nature. This is how we understand ourselves. And why? Because for the most part, the vast majority of our sins are hidden. They're hidden from us. You know, they're not hanging out there for the whole entire world to see. And we have this wonderful ability to, deny them and explain them away, do all kinds of things like that. And our natural knowledge of ourselves that God lets us have is that, we're pretty decent folks. We're pretty good people. But you see that the wretchedness of our sin is, it's hidden inside of us. It's hidden within us. And we are so profoundly broken that we don't realize that we're broken. I was listening to an interview with a pastor a while ago. It was a pastor, Brian Wolfmuller, and he had this story he was telling about how people are broken and sinful and they don't realize it. And he said he was in somewhere, and they heard a loud screech and a crash. And they ran out the door to see what was going on, and there had been a motorcycle wreck. And a gentleman, a kid, a guy who didn't know how to ride a motorcycle got on his buddy's motorcycle and tried to ride it, and he wrecked it. And Brian, Pastor Wolfmuller, said, and this was before he was a pastor, but he said, I ran up to the guy and asked him if he was all right. And the man said, I don't know. I can't feel my legs. He had broken his back, and he couldn't feel. So he didn't know how bad a shape he was in. So with sin, we are bent. We are broken also. And we don't realize just how broken we are. We don't realize just how sinful we are. And we don't understand the depths of our sin. And this is smack dab what Isaiah and Peter run right up against. In Isaiah's vision of heaven and Peter's encounter in Jesus, in these events, both these men see the depths of their own brokenness. And they compare that with the majesty of God. It was kind of like Caleb and I. If he stood up next to me while I was sitting down, and well, he looked to be about the same height as I was. But then I stand up and realize, the adult is way taller than I am. So when we are in the presence of God, we will come to the realization of just how sinful we truly are. And that, what they are seeing, is what our reality is in worship. So what is going on here in worship? Now, what can't we see? What is the world that we can't see? We have asked God to be here. We have called his name in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We have invoked his presence. Here with us are angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. The veil between heaven and earth is parted just a little bit. This is what's going on. Now, we can't see it, but it's really happening. Peter and Isaiah run up smack dab into the fact that they can see what we is normally hidden from us. They can see what we normally can't see. We are in the presence of God. And frankly, not a single one of us captures the magnitude of exactly what it is we are doing when we're here in the worship service. For if we did, we would react just like Isaiah and just like Peter, we would be utterly terrified when we come to the conclusion and the understanding, the full of understanding, that we are in the presence of God. We would fear the great fear. We would understand the magnitude of our sinfulness. Now, look, this is that point in the sermon, right, where I'm supposed to launch into what that sinfulness is and then start ticking off these lists of all the sins that we commit and how we should. We don't need to do that this morning. You know you have your own personal sins. You know you have the things that you struggle with. You know the things that you wrestle and you battle. You can examine yourself. You know what the world out there is like and where you have caved into the world and where the world has won a little piece of you. You are fully capable of examining yourself. And so we don't have to go, we don't even have to go past our family relationships to realize just how sinful each and every one of us is. So, you know, use this time as you're sitting there thinking and pondering your own sinfulness in the sight of God. And when Peter and Isaiah do this, and they're right smack dab in front of God doing this, they understand what happens. Well, they humble themselves before God. They cast themselves down before God, God in the flesh, God in the throne room. Peter or Isaiah crying out, "Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people of unclean lips." And Peter throwing himself, flinging himself down at Jesus' knees and saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." You know, but what is going on here in these, both of these scenarios, both of these accounts? God is the actor. God is the one who's doing the doing. It's God. And God chooses not to depart from them, not to abandon them, not to leave them, but he chooses to cleanse them, to make them worthy to be in his presence. And what does God choose for you? God chooses you, and for you, he chooses to cleanse you of your sins, to absolve you of your sins. He chooses to cleanse you in the waters of holy baptism. He chooses to absolve you in the words of the absolution each Sunday morning spoken through your pastor. He chooses to touch your lips with his very body and his very blood, assuring you of the forgiveness of your sins, just as Jesus himself says, "This is my body, this is my blood, for you, for the forgiveness of sins." And so when you take the sacrament of the altar, you know that you are being touched by the very God who has created you and who has given you life and who is cleaning you and washing you and making you clean to stand in his presence. We have the absolution right before us. And both of these men experienced the absolution. In Isaiah's case, one of the seraphim fly to the altar. With tongs, they take a hot coal from the altar and bring the hot coal over to him. And with that coal, the seraph touches his lips. "No, Isaiah, you are not undone. You are holy in God's sight. See, this has touched you. This has touched your lips. You are made clean." And Peter, when conscious of his own sinfulness and realizing he is in the presence of the divine, confesses Jesus to be the Lord and implores Jesus to depart from him. Peter wants Jesus to leave because Peter is now aware of his own sinfulness and he judges himself unworthy to be in Jesus' presence. Well, yes, that is what happens when one faces the divine, but what is Jesus' reaction? Jesus' reaction is the absolution. "Do not be afraid," he tells Peter. It's a word of the Lord spoken over Peter by Jesus, releasing him from his fear and from the consciousness of his guilt. Do not be afraid. Please understand that apart from God's word, there is not life, but there is only death. We are created by God's word. We are recreated by God's word, and our life is in God's word. And you too have been touched by the sacramental touch of the Lord your God. He has given you the waters of holy baptism, given you the Holy Spirit and the forgiveness of all your sins. Your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. And it is that very same Jesus who gives life to you. Both Peter and Isaiah encounter God, and their inclination is to do what? Scripture declares what all will do when they come face to face with the divine. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So God does what God does. God cleanses. God absolves. He absolves both men. And what is more, he gives them the task of proclaiming that word of absolution to the world, to the people of their day. These men were given their vocations as proclaimers of the word. Isaiah to be a prophet, and Peter, who would be later installed in the apostolic office of being one of Jesus' sent ones, who was commissioned to go forth and to grow the church. So we too encounter God in word and sacrament. We are given to hear and to see the means by which God works among his people. Are we worthy in and of ourselves to be in God's presence? No, absolutely not. We're not. We are like Isaiah, ushered into a vision into the heavenly realms. But we have something very different. We have Christ among us. We have God come down to us in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. We have Jesus who lived a perfect life in our place. Jesus who forgives us of our sins. Jesus who has washed us in the waters of holy baptism. Jesus who has removed our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. Jesus who absolved Peter and gave him his office. And in this same way, Jesus has absolved you, and Jesus has given you your office, your vocation, perhaps several vocations: parent, child, teacher, employee, employer, laborer, husband, wife. Whatever your vocations are in life, these have been given to you by God in ways in which he has equipped you to serve in his kingdom. Not everybody is a pastor, not everybody is a prophet, not everybody can sing, not everybody can speak in public, not everybody can turn a wrench, not everybody can do surgery. God has given us each our own gifts that we use for service in his kingdom. And what are you going to do with the gifts that God has given you? You're going to go. You're going to go now, absolved from your sins, forgiven in the blood of Jesus Christ, strengthened by his word, washed clean in him, made holy in God's sight, all through what he has done for you. On your behalf is your Savior, and you're going to go out and you're going to encounter the world, and you're going to work in the world as Jesus has you to work in the world. Be a good employee, be a good employer, be a faithful son or daughter, be a good mother and father, be a faithful father who leads his family in prayer, be a faithful mother who takes care of her children. Do these things, for these are what God has asked you to do in this world as you live in his faithfulness and you live out the forgiveness that he has bestowed upon you in your life. Go forth and live in God's grace. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.